Proverbs 26:2. It's amazing, these proverbs. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causes shall not come to rest. Does God take care of His children?
Yes, He does.
Yeah, His obedient children. If I walk in obedience to God's word, there is no sickness and no disease can come upon this physical body. Only when I sin and open the door, and I open the door, He's trying to tell me all these things in the book of Proverbs. It's amazing. The curse causeless shall not come. In other words, you can't be spanked from God just because He wants to give you a spanking. You only get a spanking from God when you deserve it. And you know, knowing God the way I know God, usually you get that spanking after you've deserved it for a long time. He's really merciful. You know that? He's very merciful. And some of us think back of the things we've done in our lives and we think, oh, God, you should have killed me way back yonder. And He should have, but He didn't. He had a plan, and He was merciful to you. Now then, let's go back to where we were in Proverbs. Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. This is what I'm saying when I said a while ago, 2.6 million children living with their grandparents. What a sad situation. If 2.6 million children are having to live with grandparents, that means that neither the mother or the father wants the child. I can't even imagine that. You know, I was raised up in a home with a mother and a father that loved each other. My mother and dad, I think they were married about nearly 60 years, whatever it was. But in all the years I was in that home, not one time did I ever hear my mother or my dad raise their voice at each other. Not one time. In fact, the thing I remember about my mother, of course, my dad was a great man too, but my mother, when my sister got killed in that car wreck, she left three little boys. One of them was just 5 months old, and then Ricky and Eddie and Chuck. They were all under 5 years of age when she got killed by a carload of drunks. So for the next 5 or 6 years, my mother and dad raised these grandchildren. You know, they came into our home because the daddy, he's got to work. You know, and so he comes and gets them as much as he can, but he's a brakeman on the railroad and everything, and he's working. But it was probably 5 or 6 years later before he finally met another young woman, and he married her. Listen to your mother's and your father's teachings. Well, if you don't have a mother and a father, you're in trouble. And so many of the kids today don't have a mother and a father. We have got a sick generation out there today. And it's not just in the world. It's in the church. We got people in the church been married 3, 4, 5 times, you know. So if you've been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times, make this your last, okay? You know, because like I say, if you're waiting to marry the perfect guy, I like to tell this on Cheryl, too. She'd be sitting out there when she just knew me as a preacher. She said this one time. I've told it lots of times. But she looked up there and she said, I wondered what it would be like to be married to a perfect man. You know, she looked at me as a perfect man. Then God brought her to me and she married me and she found out what it was like. And she found out I was a little rough around the edges. My diamond had not been polished everywhere yet. She found out she had a good place to pray. In fact, one night she got so upset with me, she's fussing at God. God, what am I going to do with this man that you gave me? That sounds just like Adam and Eve, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And she's really fussing at God, and the Lord spoke to her audibly. He said, just love him. So it broke her heart. She called me and said, honey, are you coming in? I said, yes. And I come in, she grabbed me up, and she said, will you forgive me? I said, well, of course. I said, what happened? What changed your mind? Oh, she said, I was in the ministry room, and I was fussing because I didn't like what you had done. So I'm fussing to God about what you've done. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man that you've given me? And said, he spoke to me audibly and said, just love him. Just love him. Well, I mean, does he tell us that in the Word? Love each other. That's what the King said. And when we get our instruction from the Word of God, when we obey it, then life's good, right? It's absolutely amazing. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and only fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you, and don't neglect your mother's teachings. Verse 9 and 10. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. If you have a good mother and father, that's where you're going to go. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Oh, I'm telling you, you know, when I was a young child, running around. You know, we'd go out together, you know, all of us guys. You know, everybody wants to be one of the guys. You know, I mean, Goldsway, where I was raised up, was a dry county. You know, you couldn't buy liquor or nothing nowhere, but you could go down 25, 30 miles away and get a case of beer, you know, if you were old enough. And, of course, some of those guys would go get somebody that was old enough to buy a case of beer, and they'd bring it back. And then, of course, we'd be riding around, and they'd break open their beer and say, "Here, Thurman, have one." I said, "But that's a beer." I said, "I don't drink that stuff." Now, where did I learn that? My daddy wasn't a drunk at home. My daddy didn't drink it at home. My mother didn't drink it at home. Neither one of them. So I thought, if I never saw Mom or Dad drink one of those things, it must not be good for me. They said, "Oh, but just taste it." I said, "I don't think I even want to taste it." Of course, you know what they are. The guys always, "Just try it. You might like it." When you're a child, are you confronted with these kind of issues? So I took one little sip. I thought, "Oh my gosh," I said, "that's awful." And they said, "Well, just keep drinking. It'll get better as you go." You know what I told them? Now, some of those boys had never been where I'd been. But I had plowed with an old horse with a cultivator behind her. And when that old horse has to let off gas, and whenever she lets off water, you know, she swishes her tail. And if you're having to be behind, you get it all over you. I said, "I followed a horse that had stuff that tastes better than that." So I said, "No, I ain't drinking that rotten stuff." I said, "I ain't drinking that urine out of that horse. I sure ain't drinking that nasty stuff." So see, praise God, I had been there. You know, if I didn't, I might have listened to those guys. I might have said, "Okay, it tastes terrible, but if you continue to drink enough of it, you can hate it when you start, but you can become an alcoholic. You know that? And you can't live without it." Now see, when the Lord says, "My child, if sinners entice you, don't do it. Turn your back on them." Somebody comes and says, "Oh, just have a cigarette." You know, but I was tested with all of this stuff. "Just have a cigarette." I said, "No." I said, "My dad does smoke. I've seen my dad smoke, and I've seen what that stuff's doing to him." I said, "There ain't no way I'm going to smoke." I said, "My dad, of course, my brother-in-law, he watched his dad die with emphysema, choked to death. I mean, my brother-in-law was in there with his dad when he took his last breath, and his last breath was, you know, you ought to heard him. It was awful. And then he couldn't get another one, so he died. My brother-in-law got up, he come outside, he took him, "I ain't never going to smoke another one." Said, "I've seen my daddy die with them stupid things. I ain't dying like that."
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of people needs to see somebody die like that. Because, you know, it's not a big deal to smoke a cigarette, you know. So just smoke a cigarette. It only says on the package, you know. Warning, cigarette smoking causes cancer. Not me, it causes cancer. Are we fools? We're not even fools, despise knowledge. It's amazing that we do this. "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." You know, I can think of all the different times that I've been enticed by somebody my age, or maybe a little older than me. "Well, let's go down and break into somebody's house tonight and steal their guns." Oh, I've been confronted with all this. Well, whenever they entice you, if you don't know the Proverbs, you might just say, "Well," they said, "Well, come on, let's go down here. We'll go down here out of town somewhere. We'll drive back in here in the woods where these guys live. It's all hunters, and we can steal some guns. We can take them and sell them. We can make all kinds of money." It sounds tempting. But what if we get caught? Oh, don't worry, we won't get caught. I mean, nobody ever tells you. We might get shot if the guy's still at home and he catches us in his house. He might just kill us and our life's over and we're going to die and go to hell. So they don't ever tell you that. But just like the Lord says here, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." Well, let me tell you, there's going to be some sinners out there that's going to try to get you to do things wrong, especially when you're a young child growing up. But, you know, today it doesn't make any difference. I stand in awe of the intelligent men and women, but I'm really going to be on men's case. They get to be 30 or 40 or even 50 years old, and somebody entices them with some kind of drugs, and they get on drugs or alcohol, and these men get hung on this stupid stuff as late as 40 and 50 years into life. That is more than crazy. But the reason they're stupid is because they have not read the Word of God. They don't know the temptations that's coming. They don't know. And so the only place you're going to get instructions from a God that created us is out of His Word. And when you read it, you've got to believe it. Verse 11 and 12. They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone. Let us ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive as the grave swallows its victims, though they are in the prime of life, that will go down into the pit of death. I mean, he's telling you where you're going to go. Yeah, to hell. That's exactly what he's saying. Woo, verse 13 and 14. And the loot we'll get will fill our houses with all kinds of stuff or things. Come on, throw in your lot with us. We'll split our loot with you. I mean, is there children, young people doing this to other young people today? Every kind. They're enticing you. Oh, you don't have to work for this. You know, let's go down here and we'll knock this guy off. You know, he's got a lot of money. We'll kill him. We'll steal his money. Nobody will ever know we did it. Come on. He's got $10,000. I saw he had $10,000 in his pocket. Let's just go kill him and take his money. Let's go and I'll split with you half and half. I mean, but those kind of things are happening every day. And there's people believing them. And, of course, some of them do get by with it for a little while. You know, maybe a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. But one day, that's right, the day will come. One day you've been doing this for 10 years and it becomes second nature now. You're enticing the young people to go out and steal for you and do all kinds of stuff. And one day you walk around a corner and there sits a guy and you're going to do something. And man, this guy got a gun on you. And he pulls it out and puts it right between your eyes and blows your head off. And your next breath, you're in the flames of hell forever. Then you're screaming, oh, God, I don't want to be in this place. He said, I give you my word. I told you what to do. I sent people over and over and over to tell you what to do, and you would not listen. So now it's too late. You're going to be here in this lake of fire forever. You know, when you get into the lake of fire, is there any way to get out? It's over. You're going to burn in a lake of fire in hell forever. When Cheryl and I was reading that the other night about where the worm dieth not, she had read a book about a lady that went to hell. God took her to hell, and she saw it, and she said, the worms were eating the flesh off of people, and then they were regurgitating it, and the flesh coming back on, and then they eat them again. Right. Over and over they were doing it. And she just said, that just makes me sick at my stomach to think about it. I said, that's all we want to know, is just to be able to think about it. We don't ever want to experience that for real.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Health, Longevity, and Prosperity, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.